Andrew, are you seeing the inflows coming from certain firms? Are they coming more from traditional firms, independents? Where have you seen the most opportunity?
We're still seeing a lot out of Wells Fargo. And then a couple that we're talking to that have the one that I just highlighted with the guy who signed the docs that I've been talking to since May, that was from Merrill. So bigger firms, and then we pulled a $5-ish million one where the guy was doing it himself at Vanguard. And for a variety of reasons, he needed more full service.
Is there a primary reason that you see that people are leaving other firms and coming to you?
So that's twofold. I think we're pretty persistent on our marketing. So they know of us. We have one who funded right at the very beginning of the year that was actually a referral from a non-client, which is a really big compliment. We were referred to as the guys that are, and I'm paraphrasing, different than everybody else, pay attention, and have an average client age that is actually young, not old. And so they're looking at us as the team that they can kind of grow old with.
Terrific. A lot of success stories. Somebody just came on the line. Was that John?
Ashlyn, is he again? Sorry, I think we dropped because we got another call. No apologies.
Glad you're back. Right on.
We are back.
Is that Ashley or is he talking?
That was Ashley. This is Ashley.
Ashley, in a previous call, two calls ago, and we didn't get to it last time we talked, we discussed reminding clients of an appointment 5 days ahead of time instead of the Friday before. Did you decide to make that change?
So I haven't made that change yet. I still have been doing the Friday before, but that's a good point. I can look at that again. With the holidays, it has sometimes been further in advance just because we've been moving things around this past month. But I think that's a good point to bring up for the new calls that we're adding as well. Do we want to change it
well,
to the Friday or the week before?
If you think about it, if you call somebody on a Friday for a Monday appointment, you might not be giving them enough time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that would be a good idea.
Let
me talk about another organizational type client service idea. Do you all have, and I'm asking this question to anybody who can answer, do you feel pretty confident about the security of your clients? Information. I'm not asked the question. When I go into Merrill Lynch, they send me, I click on something after I've put in my password and sign in, they send me a code that I have to put in before I get to my account. Do you all have anything like that?
So with our online services, we do, if it's like from an unrecognized computer, they'll get a code. And then with anything we send them that has sensitive information, they get a text message as well as an email with the code to access that. Is that kind of what you're talking about, if I'm on the right track?
Yes. You are on the right track. It sounds like the only difference is that at Merrill, I have to get a code. There's no way for me to get into my account without having this code. They send me a text. I know that Schwab does the same thing. You click on an icon on your iPhone, and it gives you a number, a rolling number that lasts for a minute before you got to get that in to see your account. And I just mention that because I know not every firm has offered that. I know not every FA at every firm is offering it. In this day, when people worry a lot about cyber theft, so on and so forth, it might be a selling point to someone. Go back to what Andrew said about getting an account from Merrill. If you all offer that, Merrill offers it, but the competitive FA isn't offering it. Again, it just gives you a leg up. You with me?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think for our online stuff, it depends on more what the client chooses, but if they want to remember the computer or stuff like that. But I do, that is a good selling point to think about.
Yeah. Well, even if they don't do it, Ashley, it makes sense to, offer it. Because I say this to everybody, if you're talking to a prospect, I'm sure you realize this, they're comparing everything that you're offering versus what they're getting now. And when you do what Andrew has done, or the team has done, reached out in these volatile times, now you're all talking to them about the security of their account, and they're not getting any of that. You all just look like the shiniest penny on the in the pocket. So just something you might want to think about. Andrew, that makes sense?
Yep.
All right. All right, our last meeting, we had a good discussion about getting referrals from CPAs and estate planning attorneys. There are two basic ways to do this. One is to identify CPAs and EPAs who deal with the type of clients you want to have in your practice. And the other way is, so have your clients lead you to people you want to be led to. The other way is to find out from your clients who they deal with and ask them for a referral to those people. I know we've had the holidays, so on and so forth. Have you all had any time since our last call to have any of these conversations?
We've had a couple of meetings. John's had some lunches with the COIs, and we just continue to view it as a slow drip. But to be frank, we've been so busy with everything else that that's taken the back burner.
And that makes all the sense in the world. I mean, it takes the back burner because you've got so many things working, so many things that are falling in at the bottom of the funnel. This is just making sure that this is always something, Andrew, that you're working on. You know how valuable these people can be to a practice. It's just continue to make sure that you're having those conversations. All right?
Yep.
All right. John's not on yet, is he?
No.
Okay. Andrew, I know what you and John really love to do. You love to be out in the traffic growing the practice. Everything else is not as much fun. Am I on the right track?
That's fair. I'd want to spend 80% of my time out in traffic if I can.
And that's what you're really good at too, right?
That's what I would like to think I'm really good at.
The success is obvious. Here's the question. You all came into Supernova having a pretty good handle on your growth, feeling good about that. What you came in for was to get some processes, some organization, repeatable organization. So here's the question, Andrew. Is there anything from an organizational point of view that keeps you from spending 80% of your time on what you're really good at?
For me, I would say no.
Since John's on the phone, how would you answer it for John?
Will, how would you answer that?
John's just wrapped up the call, and he's excited to answer this question, so he's about to hop on.
All right.
John, hello.
John, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
We just talking about organization, and I asked the question of Andrew, was there anything that keeps him from working 80% of his time on growth? With the reason for asking that question is that's what he's really good at. That's where the success is. And you're the same way. You're best when you're out in traffic looking for business, servicing existing, meeting with existing clients. Agreed?
Yeah.
What keeps you from, is there anything organizationally that's keeping you from being 100% focused on growth? Or 90%, whatever it needs to be.
$450 million, and I'm trying to make sure of mine stay here. So I think, you know, I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, but for me, there has to be some time focused on my legacy business.
Well, there's two ways to grow. The way you grow is you keep what you get, you go get more. So I look at, if you're not servicing business, you're going to have to replace it. The reason mm-hmm. you all are getting business is because you're different. We had a conversation about how you reached out to clients during this volatility or prospects, and you've probably given them better service than they were getting from their existing advisor. So you got to service it. That's part of growth. I guess what I'm looking for is, are there things that you're getting involved in that don't involve the retention or growth?
I'm actually doing a lot better, and Andrew is somewhat doing better getting out of it. I mean, I think Will has done a really good job quarterbacking that. But I don't know what they told you what's been going on for the last few months, but we are absolutely, we've never been hitting on this many cylinders like we are right now. And I don't know what they told you, but we pretty much have commitments for almost $70 million of new money coming in already this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have a 45 coming in, signing the paperwork on Friday. Andrew's got a 9, we got a 5, we got another 15. I mean, these are all, I mean, we've been working it, but, and so what happens is, so, you know, you fill the bucket up with more monthly calls, monthly meetings, everything else. We don't have much time not to do it. I think some of the portfolio management stuff that Will's responsible for, we're farming that out to get some off his plate. We have a outside financial planner inside Private Wealth helping us. I mean, I think we're doing a great job. It's just a matter of always just kind of tweaking it a little bit.
Do you worry about getting too big?
No.
There's a point where you're going to have to make a decision, and not to get into today, but whether you bring someone else or shift some duties with Will, bring in somebody, whatever, that, I mean, you can't continue to grow like this. Well, let me make it a question, I'm inferring. Can you continue to grow like this and not add capacity? Or do you still have plenty of capacity?
I think we have plenty of capacity. I think Andrew and myself have the capacity to handle, let's say, 50 families. And is the average $5 million or $20 million? And then Will is obviously taking up the slack in some, but we still have more capacity. I think $1 billion is our capacity. It's just a matter of what size accounts they are, because this move to private wealth has really changed our mindset from going, you know, $2 million is a great account, where, you know, this $45 million account is no different, but I think we're playing in a different area. And if we could raise, you know, we're trying to raise $150 million this year. If we could do that and, you know, raise $100 million for the next 5 years, you know, I think that's the capacity we can figure out. It's just not diluting the model. And either we get rid of people or we, you know, and Will's growing into more role of servicing accounts also.
All right. You said your goal was for new money is 150
this year. Yeah,
terrific. All right, so right now everything's getting covered. You could still bring on more business. I mean, if it continues
yeah.
like it does this year, at the end of the year, you can still have the same number of people and still be offering the premium level of service that you're offering.
Yeah, this is Andrew. I'll just jump in. I mean, for me, I came out of a highly structured world where I was managing people and dealing with all that garbage that comes along with that. And
yeah.
having the monthly calls scheduled out, it forces me to prioritize the prospecting during the slots of time that I have available on call days. It's helped me out from a structure perspective.
All right. This is an aside, I'm a little off course. Have you found any people who are reluctant to schedule like you're scheduling?
Yes.
And what do you do in those cases?
I still schedule it on my calendar and I call them.
Good. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Last month we talked about the large opportunity with the brewer. I asked Andrew why the person who referred the brewery was comfortable doing so, and I really loved Andrew's answer. The answer was two parts. One, the referral has known me for a long time, and the second is that referral knows the full range of what Andrew does. Is that a fair representation, Andrew, of what you told me?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay, what do you as a team need to do to make sure that other clients or centers of influence know your practice as well as this person did who referred you all into the brewery? That's the question. How do you make sure that everybody can describe what you all do?
I think it's just like the lawyer that's referred me into his partner. It's all part of the prospect to client process and making sure they're fully educated coming in and then that we fully implement and execute on our business model with them. And when they see that, they're fully informed and they're also talking to us on a regularly scheduled basis versus getting one-off overall. So it is different.
So with your clients, Andrew, it's easier because they're living what you're talking. Agreed?
Agreed.
They know what you all do because they're living that. They know it's not just talk. It's usually more difficult for referral sources because they aren't seeing it from the view of a client. Is there anything special that you are doing or need to do to make sure that the non-client referrals, as you've gotten, you shared with me before, how do you make sure they know what your team does?
Well, for the non-client referrals, assuming we're prospecting them, which we typically would be, they're seeing our business model essentially in action before their clients because they're getting updates, they're getting outreach, they're getting targeted things that are of interest to them based on the industry they're in, you know, et cetera. So they're seeing that full circle. And the whole time they're also comparing that to what they currently have, which in most cases I wouldn't think would even come close to touching that.
Do you have any referral sources who are not from an asset point of view they wouldn't fit into your – do you have small – people who wouldn't fit as a client who are referral sources?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that they're seeing what you all do because they're getting copied on the things that you all are doing for their clients?
Well, so like we have enough – go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I just want to make sure that, it was such a wonderful story that you told earlier, Andrew, and told last week about you've got people out there who know what you do. They just don't say, go see Andrew, he's a good guy. They can sell you specifically. It doesn't get any better than the stories that you've told me over the last a couple of sessions. My question is just making sure that people who are not clients and maybe don't fit into your ideal client model can still describe your practice.
Yeah, because if it's a COI, they're dealing with those types of people and they've been brought into our client situations. If it's a social connection, it's going to be somebody that John's known or I've known or Will's known, you know, for a long time and they've watched us interact and they know how we operate just from regular interaction with us when they say, hey, how's work going? And we tell them.
Okay. Okay, so what you're telling me is you all are comfortable where you are training your centers of influence. I mean, no one, I mean, you're doing that, you're not coming in the morning and say, this is what we're going to do today. It's just part of what you do is to train those people.
It's not a matter of training. It's consistently doing the things we do well and right. And I think we've earned that over the years, but I think we are very adamant of keeping a consistent service model and the way we handle everything from Ashley, Izzy, Will, Andrew, and myself, that there's a mood and an image that we have upheld that we don't deviate from, and I think people, it resonates.
All right. Well, then what I'm going to, the next question I'm going to ask you then, John, is probably not needed, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've talked about having the practice organized, the outreach to clients on a monthly basis, so on. From an organizational point of view, do you need to, is there anything you need to do staying in touch with your referral sources? Or is the interaction with the referral source and the person they refer, is that enough? I'd hate for, and I'll make it up, I'd hate for 6 months to go by and a good referral source hasn't heard from you all.
No, they're just like everybody else there on a regular basis. Ashley comes in on the daily to-do list. She says these four COIs have not been contacted. I say, schedule a lunch, and they're scheduled. Everybody's on a tickler.
All right. Good, great answer. All right, I got one more, one final question. It's a silly question, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. We're talking here about centers of influence, referrals from clients, so on and so forth. Do you have any clients, John, who don't know that you all take new business?
No, we are very, they know exactly, I think they, and we have been very good about communicating that the number, the minimum number is much larger than it has been in the past. I basically say $5 million is my minimum if they refer, and everyone's comfortable with that.
Well, the reason I asked that question about do you have clients who don't know that you take new business is I guess probably 6-7 years ago now, working with an FA in Lexington, Kentucky, he was sitting down with a really good client telling her about the changes he was making, the refinements he was making to his practice through Supernova, and she held up her hand and she said, Harry, I didn't know you took new business. And that's for everybody on this phone would shake our head and said, how could that be? So my point is making sure that your people know that you're open for new business.
I think me more than even Andrew, I'm so aggressive and so forthright of what I'm trying to do that I don't think anybody has a question that we want new business.
All right. That's the answer I thought I'd get, but I wanted to ask you. All right. Anything else you all want to cover?
Nope. We're chugging.
John, I just, you all are like the head of the class. I mean, it's just the work, the growth that you have, John, demonstrates the value that you're bringing. You can't grow like you all are growing without the prospect seeing the value. My experience is clients are happy to pay what we charge. I'm talking about from a business point of view, from your point of view. They just want to get value for what they're paying. And then it's the same with, you couldn't be doing as well as you're doing if you weren't doing almost everything right.
Yeah, and the private wealth channel has really upped our game, meaning our minimum is bigger and our mindset is bigger and that's been a huge plus for us.
Well, you made the right decision.
So.
Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, folks. Next month is our last scheduled month. I'll reach out to you before that time to ask if there's anything specific you want to talk about. But between now and then, if anything comes up that you do want me to focus on next time, please let me know.
All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Doing great work. Talk
thank you.